This morning I want to show you a quick little video clip from a movie called Hoosiers. And yes, we are from Indiana, and yes, it is about a small town place in Indiana called Hickory, Indiana. Now, just a few years ago, Indiana did not have class basketball. In other words, it was conceivable that even some of the smallest schools could be playing for the state championship in Indiana. And this is a story that happened. A little bitty high school in Hickory is going to play for the state championship at Butler Fieldhouse, which was enormous. You consider their little gym was just, it held maybe 100 or so at best, but they're going to this big, big stadium, and the players are just blown away by the enormity of the place. And I think the coach did something real insightful to help his team understand something very, very important that I hope we will also use in the sermon to help us understand something important. So here we go.
Into the backboard. What is it?
15 feet.
15 feet. Scott, put Ollie on your shoulders. Measure this from the rim. Buddy? How far?
10 feet.
10 feet. I think you'll find it's exact same measurements as our gym back in Hickory. Okay, let's get dressed for practice.
All right. The thing that he did, of course, he wanted them to understand the playing court was the exact same measurements as the big field house. They were playing the same game. Remember that for later on. We're going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting with verse 10. You knew that already, and many of you have already beat me there because you knew we're going to talk about this, the armor that God gives us. If we're going to be strong, we're strong in the Lord. If we're going to be protected from the forces of evil, it is only because we're going to put on the spiritual armor that God gives us to wear. If not, we are susceptible. In fact, we are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And too many Christians are walking around today and they're wearing this piece of armor, that piece of armor, and the rest of it's at home. And because of it, they never live out the life that God has them to live. And because of that, the churches they attend are never fully able to do the very things that God wants them to do. So folks, Paul says, don't leave home without it. All right? More than your credit card, don't leave home without your spiritual armor. It's that important. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of all of this, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't know, but I can remember as a little boy, one of the things that I liked to do is we would sword fight all the time. And of course, it didn't matter what we used. Sometimes it was sticks. Sometimes it was a little bitty wood ruler. Sometimes, you know, it was those cylinders that wrapping paper come on. Those were really good because they were a little longer, and we would sword fight back and forth. And I've never handled a real sword today, but I'm thinking it takes a little bit of practice in order to handle it appropriately so you don't hack off something of yourself when you're waving that thing around. Well, I'm not sure about a real sword, but I'm sure about this sword. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it takes a lot of practice, it takes a lot of study and reflection for this sword to be everything that God wants it to be, that we might live not life, but victorious life today. All right, this is both our offense and our defense. When that evil sword yielding Satan steps up, we pull our sword. When we want to go on the offense, we pull our sword. Why? Because the Word of God is a living and active and powerful word that can even divide from soul and spirit. It's that precise. And we've got it made in the United States. We've got Bibles laying everywhere. So many places in our world, they don't have that luxury, but we've got it. The American Bible Society today says that 88% of all homes in America have not just one Bible, but the average home has nearly five Bibles laying around. Availability is not a problem. The problem is too many of our swords are gathering dust because they've been laying on the table for weeks and haven't been touched. The problem today is too many of our Bibles still have pages that stick together like they do when they're new because they've never been opened and read through and through. The problem today is too many of our Bibles don't show the wear and tear of daily use. The American Bible Society also says that only 37% of all people that have Bibles, and that's a large number, but only 37% read it one time a week or more. All right, just having our Bible is not good enough. We better know how to use our sword, and we better know how to use it well. Because the truth is, Satan is not just shooting those flaming arrows that try to get us to doubt our faith and to doubt God, but Satan is also going to try to use our very own sword against us. You see, Satan will quote scripture to us, but we better be very careful because he'll also take it out of its context, or he'll misrepresent it so that he tries to get us to think something that it's not really saying. Look, our Bibles are not just for show. It's not, hey, look at my Bible. It's so neat and pretty and got all the bells and the whistles. That's not what it's about. It's about digging deep into the Word and letting God speak to us. That's what it's about. I mean, how silly would it be for a soldier to go into battle without his sword? How silly would it be for Christians not to take theirs? I mean, so Paul said, take it. Take the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit with you. And remember, the taking is not that we're going to walk up and grab it, but the taking is someone is saying, here, you need this. Take this with you. And that's God holding in his hand his word and says, look, you need this in order to live. I believe at times we probably ought to take Paul literal in his words and take the sword of the Spirit with us even when we go to work. Maybe if we took it to work and read it during our break or during lunch, maybe we wouldn't listen to some of the things that we ought not be listening to, and maybe we wouldn't be talking about some of the things we should not be talking about. And if we can't take it literally with us, truly we can all take the Word of God in our hearts simply through study and memorization. I mean, think about it. Think about how that if you put it in your heart, it's always there. One of the great and neat promises that Jesus made the disciples came when they were really kind of confused and worried about what was about to happen because Jesus has just told them, I'm going to be leaving and you can't come with me right now. And he gave them this assurance. He said, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things and he will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. You want to know the catch there? You can't remember it if you haven't studied it. He can't bring it back up if you've never put it in there in the first place. And so we need to dig deep. I mean, we teach our children the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible, don't we? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its words will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. Indiana's version. But we teach them that, don't we? Because we know that if we put it in there, it's always there. But if we don't put it in, then it doesn't light our path. It doesn't light our life. And if our life isn't lit up the way God wants it to, then life is a lot more difficult for us. So Paul said, take your sword. Take it with you because you need it. And the truth is, there's some really good stuff in here. Yes, there's going to be some things in here that you're going to read it and you're going to be convicted about it. You're going to come to it and say, boy, that's me and that's not right, and it's unrighteousness, it's unholy, and I need to confess it. But I'm here to also tell you there's a lot of good stuff in here that really makes a difference in how we go about living our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for saying Matthew 28 and 20, and lo, I am with you always. There's a lot I don't know, but I know this. I know Jesus is always at my side. Thank you, Jesus, for not just being there, but bringing strength to my life. The Apostle Paul said that when he was on trial for his very life, he said, the Lord stood by me, and the Lord strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. The Lord wasn't just an innocent bystander said, oh, Paul, you're in a bad situation. No, Paul said, the Lord strengthened me, and he gave me power that I might speak. And thank you, Lord, for showing us how to deal with temptations. If you were to go to Matthew chapter 4, you would read about the temptations of Jesus. And Satan came with three very specific temptations. But you find his response in verses 4, 7, and 10. And to each temptation that Jesus had, he quoted Scripture back to Satan. Specifically, he quoted Deuteronomy, by the way. I'm thinking if Jesus thought it important enough to use when he was being tempted, how can we think anything else? The better we understand the Word of God and have it in our hearts, the better we can deal with the temptations that inevitably are going to come upon us. So yes, get into the Word. Use it. Read it. Let it help you overcome all the temptations that are out there. And today, like always, boy, how important it is to know what's in here. Because there's a lot of wrong out there. I mean, it's always been that way from the beginning. There's a lot of heresy, and I'm talking heresy, I'm not talking opinion. All right, some things are just opinion, and we ought not get all upset about it. But some things are not opinion. Some things violate the Word of God, and that we need to stand upon. It's not an opinion that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and the only way to find forgiveness and the only way to get to the Father. You don't get there through Allah. You do not get there through Buddha. You don't get there by trying to be a good person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. Look, in our day of information overload, there's a bunch of it out there. There's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of stuff on websites. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And I'm here to tell you, without a discerning heart and without really knowing what God has said, many Christians are falling prey to the junk that's out there. In fact, one of the things right now that's such a hot topic is this idea of heaven and what it's like. And there's all kinds of things that are out there about all these near-death experiences. But I got to tell you, much of it, in fact, maybe even the majority of it, if you hold it up against the Word of God, it doesn't hold water, folks. It might sound nice and you might wish it to be true, but hold it up to the Word of God and rely on it. Not about what somebody else said, all right, but what God has said. Look, we've got to discern right from wrong. We are responsible to know the truth. You can't recognize the truth if you don't know what it is. And so we come to the Word and we're students. We read it, we study it, and the Holy Spirit brings it to life to us. Max Lucado, in one of his books, said, imagine that you're at a cafeteria, you know, cafeteria style. You've got your tray, and you're going along, and you pick out your salad, and then you pick out your entree, and then the next thing is you look, and it's just a pan full of, well, of something that looks really bad. And you ask, what on earth is that? And the response is, well, it's pre-chewed food. And you say, why would anybody want that? And they say, well, some people prefer it that way. The point that Lucado then makes is, he said, as repulsive as that is, and none of us would choose it, Many Christians do that very thing. They simply accept everything that everybody else is telling them. They never get into the Word for themselves. Look, God has given us this Word, this inspired Word. A Word that God has preserved, which is a miracle in and of itself. And if we use it correctly, these words will protect and guide us because these words will stand forever. So when Jesus tells us, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell, we pay attention because it's true. And the more we follow God and listen to what God has said, the more we discover that what God says, God will do. See, it's in living it, in doing the Word of God that it really does come to life for us. You know, it's not just about listening to it. James put it that way. He said, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so it all starts, if we're going to get into the Word, it all starts with finding the truth that sets us free. And the truth that sets us free is that moment that we turn our lives over to Jesus. All right, when we accept His forgiveness, when we say, yes, it's my choice, I want You in my life, I want Your forgiveness in my life, in that moment that it comes, we are set free. Free to live for God, free to be ourselves, free to reach out and share the gospel with others. In fact, it's only by His presence that we can bear any fruit. He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Wow, how powerful is that? Because of who He is. Look, Patrick, I'm going to give you $1 billion right after church. Patrick's not jumping up and down. I don't know why. I'd be jumping. Well, I probably wouldn't because Patrick knows what's the point. He's a Southern Methodist preacher. He don't got that kind of money. And he's right. I don't. But what if God said it today? Got to tell you, you could get yourself onto the bank if God said it. Because God has the power to do everything that God says He will do. See, that's the beauty of it. And that's why we come to it. Because if God said it, we can believe it. Look, one day, this man who had leprosy and that hideous skin disease and how terrible it must have been, and he was an outcast from society. And one day he went to Jesus and said, if you're willing, not if you want, if you can, because he knew he could, but he said, but if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Oh, and he was healed in that very moment. See, there's power in Jesus' words. And one day on the Sea of Galilee, when their boat was rocking and the storm was bad and the disciples knew they were about to die, they wake Jesus up and Jesus said, peace be still. And that storm was over. See, there's power in Jesus' words. And one day, just outside of Jerusalem and Bethany, two sisters were grieving the loss of their brother who had died. And Jesus showed up, that giver of life, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead, or at least once dead man came walking out of the tomb because there's power in those words. And one day during the greatest tragedy in all of human history, when the perfect Son of God was hanging on the cross, not for anything He had done, but for what you did and for what I did, as He's dying for the sins of the world, He was there and He spoke three powerful words, it is finished. It is finished. Sin has been taken care of. It is finished. You don't have to worry about Satan anymore. It is finished. Death has no more control over you because I am the eternal life. His words make a difference. And they allow us to go forth out into the world and not be afraid. All right? It's the same size world it's always been when it comes to the Word of God. We're playing the same game that the church in the first century played when thousands came to faith in Jesus Christ. Measure it out. It's the same size. It's the same Word of God today that we build our lives upon. You can measure it out. There may be more seats around. There may be other things going on, but it's right here. This is where we build our lives. This is where we build our church. Look, it's the same world for us. And we are to go out there and we are to make a difference for it. So we follow this inspired and infallible Word because it's the only reliable guide for us. And it doesn't matter whether the Word of the church of the first century or the 21st century or the 42nd century, It's the same game. It's the same word. Look, I don't know where anybody is this morning, at least except for myself, but if you're in the middle of a storm, and the truth is you need help, and I've got to tell you, let Jesus speak to you. Can he heal you? Yes, he can. Can he give you the grace that you need in order to get through the storm and to bear up under the difficulty that you're facing? Yes, he can. Can he take care of some of those emotional scars and some of the baggage that you've been carrying around for years and it just continues to cause you pain? Can he take care of all that? Yes, he can. Can he save you from your sins and give you life? Oh, yes, he can. Oh, Holy Spirit, come upon us today. Help us to hear the words of Jesus. The truth is, right now, Jesus is offering. The question is, are we accepting? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us this morning to hear the beautiful, powerful words of Jesus when he said, Father, forgive them. Yes, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and open our lives to you. Forgive us and speak to us. Forgive us and calm our fears. Forgive us and give us grace to live above all the evil that is all around us. And Lord, give us strength. Strength to love. Strength to care about others. Lord, help us and guide us into your word that we might hide it deep within our hearts. Help us, oh Lord, to know not only your words, but to know that we can build our lives upon them. Lord, this moment and this time, may we listen for what you want to say to us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand this morning as we sing.
We invite the church to turn together to number 270. If in your life there's a storm, a trial, or maybe a need of salvation, as we sing Wonderful Words of Life, remember what the pastor said, Jesus Christ, the living word, is your answer. We invite you to an altar of prayer, whatever may be your need, to just share it with the Lord this morning. Number 270. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful, wonderful words of life.
We as a church, we gather this evening at 6 o'clock out on Dalles Bay Road. We gather to celebrate those words of life. Amen. At this point, we have 10 that are going to be baptized. And so we're going to gather out there, and we are going to worship, and we are going to praise the Lord for those wonderful, wonderful words. I'll see you there.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, and then in your church, be glorified. Singing together. Until we meet again, may God bless you, and you are dismissed.